on the icon screen, which is in front of the altar, sealing the altar off, as it were, in the Byzantine rite, there are always two icons. One is John the Baptist and the other is Mary. And they are the two dimensions of God's work in preparing us for Jesus. There is the work of the Baptist, who sums up all the prophetic work of the Holy Spirit up to this moment, preparing Israel and the whole world for the Messiah. And there's Mary, through whom Israel actually gave to the world its Messiah. And these two figures stand there on the icon screen, but they also stand there at Advent. And so, while our Lord is talking about John the Baptist, he's seeing John as the last and greatest of the prophets through whom God prepared the world and Israel for the Messiah. We have today in the text a series of sayings, or others. We start with Matthew 11:11-15 here, but there are other sayings just before this, as though Matthew collected the things that Jesus said and put them here. So you have to read them like one after the other, and not think that this is one continuous discourse. They're all very enigmatic. You know, since the days of the fathers of the church, everybody who's been assigned the job of expounding the scriptures has scratched their head and tried to figure out now, what is our Lord saying? The first one, Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not been any greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In other words, Jesus sees John as the summation of the whole prophetic vocation, which he, as Word of God, inspired. And he said, and yet, what's going to happen now, the reign of my Father, which is the kingdom of God, right? The reign of my Father in this world, and those who enter into it, they're greater than John the Baptist as a prophet. But as a member of the kingdom, he's a saint. The immensity of having God among us, God made man among us, dying for us, pouring out his blood for us, giving us the Holy Spirit. There's nothing greater. So the least in the kingdom of God is greater than the Baptist, just as a prophet. But not greater than the Baptist as part of the kingdom. That's the easy one. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. Now, what can that possibly mean? You see? Does it mean that the kingdom of heaven, in all its incipient reality, already present, but not yet fully born? Well, who's suffering and who's inflicting this violence? Is this to refer to the people who attacked the kingdom? Or does it mean if you want to get in, you got to do some violence to yourself? And then those who do that, you see, they're taking it by force. Does that mean that those who do violence to themselves and die to sin, they walk off with the kingdom? Or does it mean the kingdom is destined, until I come back, to endure violence? Could mean either now, couldn't it? St. Luke goes one way. St. Matthew seems to go another. But what are we going to get out of it this morning for ourselves, you see? It seems to me though every word in here is controverted, of course. And there's been 2,000 years of people trying to understand this, you know. I think we have to take it more, it means both. Those who oppose the kingdom go after it with violence. And they take it by force. But then, those who love the Lord, they do violence, huh? To themselves in order to enter this kingdom. Somebody once made a remark. We have a lot of people these days who want to have a life of mystical prayer. And they think that means, you know, sit on the floor and breathe deep, you know, cut your carrots at 45 degree angle, you know. Or somebody said, this is the mysticism in the jacuzzi, you know. That's not. There's a violence. It's a violence of love. I've got to stop sinning and give my life to God. I've got to stop sinning and serve my brethren. And those are the violence who take it by force. And then finally, the prophets and the law prophesied up to the time of John. John is the last one, summing up Jeremiah, Isaiah, Nahum, whoever you want. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah, the one who is to come. That is the great tradition, right? It's the last lines of the prophet Malachi. And it embodies the whole Jewish expectation. Elijah will come and restore everything and prepare for the kingdom. And then the one who is bringing in the kingdom will come. Well, that's what John the Baptist did. So our Lord says, he's Elijah. He's come now. Whoever has ears ought to hear. Well now, why does the church give us this? I'm asking lots of questions this morning, but you know, this is a real tough section of the gospel to work on. So if I have to work on it, now you're going to have to work on it, you see. But you see, John is an encouragement to us. The church is saying, you see, these days of Advent, the Holy Spirit himself is working like John the Baptist. He's preparing. He's preparing for the grace of the presence of Christ, the mystical presence of Christ in the church and through the church to the world at Christmas. Now you see how mixed up we got? You know, right now the holiest, the happiest people in the world about Christmas are the department stores. What about the Christians? This year they're having a tough time, these poor department stores, you know, but this is a mystical reality that the whole body of Christ is living through, including us. And so we have to be able, you know, to realize what it means to be in the kingdom. We have to realize that we have to do some violence to ourselves, huh? And we have to realize that Elijah has come, the kingdom has come, and one day it will burst into this world and end it as we know it. The seed has been planted, Jesus Christ. He was planted in the ground. He rose up from the ground. And this is this mustard seed now, this plant. And one day all the world will nest in its branches. We don't realize what we've been given. This word of God, this precious word of God, every day. And the body and blood of Christ. So if you want to do some violence, pick up the Bible every day and read it. And say, I'm not going to quit until I get something out of it. If it gets to be midnight, well, you can probably go to bed, try again. But every day, Lord, teach me through this Bible. Let your word, which is fire and beauty and encouragement and purification come into my heart.